On this late autumn afternoon, the hilly grassland of the Big Stone Wildlife Refuge is a blend of red, gold, and brown. The once lush green bushes and plants have dried and withered. The northern tall grass still stands more than 6 feet high, but it's turned a golden wheat color.
Well, you know, you hear the historic accounts of folks on horseback coming in and men standing up in the stirrups just to see on the top of their horses, just to see over the top of the grass. They had to do that.
Ron Cole is manager of the Big Stone Refuge in Ortonville, Minnesota.
If we could take a trip back in time and we were standing out here, well, back in the early 1800s, perhaps we would see, you know, miles of bison, thousands and thousands of waterfowl, prairie chickens, just numerous ground nesting birds.
Many of the animals and plants that thrived in this refuge aren't here anymore. But Minnesota DNR biologist Peter Bessler says small pockets of rich natural areas still exist.
You have the wild onion here, a nice onion flavor in the little bulb that's at the base. We have purple prairie clover, one of the blazing stars. We can probably count 30 or 40 different species just within, you know, a 6-foot radius of us.
It's estimated there are close to 80,000 acres of northern tall grass prairie left. What still exists is mostly on private property. Under a new U.S. Fish and Wildlife Program, officials hope to preserve the remaining land by encouraging property owners to turn their prairie remnants into easements or trust land. The ultimate goal is to preserve 77,000 acres in 4 states. To accomplish this, officials are working with groups such as the Nature Conservancy. But they must also rely on the interest of people like Barry Hennen, a farmer who has 60 acres of prairie on his farmstead near Appleton, Minnesota.
This is the old, what they call the old Losey farm. It's a 100-year farm. The Losey family came from, I believe, from Germany, just like all the Ehrenbergs over here and the Munstermans. It's all German descent out here.
Close to one-fifth of Hennen's land is prairie. He's owned the property since 1977 and says the grassland acres have remained relatively untouched because the rocky, steep hills are too difficult to plow. At one point in time, they had been used as cow pasture, but Hennen says when he saw the pheasants and deer on the land, he couldn't imagine doing anything but leave the prairie alone.
I knew we had a spot here that can't create. And I watch this land every year. We hunt it, you know. And if my boys happen to choose other occupations, which could very well happen, I would like to think if we're not here someday, that this will always be here.
Hennen's land is a good candidate for preservation, but there's a limit to how much of what was once native grassland can be preserved. One reason is it takes decades to bring back even a small percentage of the plant species. The second reason, says refuge manager Ron Cole, has to do with how the land has been used.
What's in corn today, can we turn that back into native prairie? No, we can't. Can we do some sort of reconstruction on some areas that are degraded in some way? Yeah, and we can maybe inject some of the native component back into the ecosystem.
Cole says he sees many possibilities with the preservation program, not the least of which is a new kind of farming. Already, researchers have explored using prairie plants such as echinacea for medicinal purposes. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has tested using wild prairie sunflower seeds to improve crop yields.
You know, our time, I think, is in a sense, it hasn't run out yet, but we're getting close, and we need to be making folks aware that these native remnants and these small little fragmented pieces throughout the states are just so important to try to protect.
Never again will there be endless prairie on the horizon, but the new U.S. Fish and Wildlife Program should guarantee a few stretches of northern tall grass will remain. Officials plan to buy some of the remaining prairie. Other areas will stay in private hands, but with an understanding they will be set aside for preservation. Farmer Barry Hennen says he is still working out the details of his participation in this project, but he thinks an official program is something other farmers in the area will jump on.
To leave this land, leave it in the control of a wetlands office or a prairie lands office like what's in Ortonville, I'm not so sure they wouldn't leap on it, you know what I'm saying? Because it's a place they could bring their kids back to and they could say, hey, you know, this is where my dad farmed.
Funding for the Northern Tallgrass Preservation Program will be approved sometime next year, with a budget of close to $15 million. In the meantime, U.S. Fish and Wildlife officials are meeting with landowners in Minnesota, Iowa, and the Dakotas to drum up interest in prairie preservation. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Gretchen Lehman in St. Cloud, Minnesota.